May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The scripture reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, restores my life, leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, a shepherd theme carries itself through our scriptures and shows up here in this passage from John chapter 10. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep will hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, I pray that my words and our thoughts and our lives would reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. That song we just sang, "Shepherd Me, O Lord," always gets me. Something about taking such familiar words, the words of the 23rd Psalm, and changing them just a little, rearranging them to make clear that the Lord being our shepherd is not merely an office that Christ occupies, but an activity Christ participates in our lives is powerful to me. The scriptures continue to invite us to lives of faithfulness, to a lived faith, not merely professed and spoken out loud or claimed in a title, but a process, an activity, a fullness of life. On this Sunday as we gather, I'm aware that it is Mother's Day. a holiday celebrated here in U.S. America originally as a way of honoring and giving thanks for all of our mothers. So the happy Mother's Day greeting we offer each other is not exclusive to those of us who are biological or legal mothers. It's universal. All of us claim and honor mothers and the work of mothering. This year in particular, I've been reflecting about my own mom. It's a year ago this month that my mom experienced a health emergency that I'm still beginning to contemplate. In a strange way, when the people we love, we see them as vulnerable and frail, it causes us occasion to reflect and assess. It was on Memorial Day, Monday, that my mom experienced an incident precipitated by medication she'd been given that reacted with her body and caused her heart to stop. Several times that day, she suffered cardiac arrest. My parents live in the mountains of Colorado in Estes Park, which is just up from the plains, high in the mountains. And so she experienced that she was not well in time to get to the hospital before her heart stopped, which meant that there were nurses and doctors and EMTs who could be there immediately to begin CPR and restart her heart and prolong her life. But it happened several times over that day. They eventually decided to put her in an ambulance to go down from the mountain town to Loveland, an auspiciously named location for a heart hospital, where she could be treated with more expert care. It was while she was on that ambulance ride that I got the phone call that let me know that this was happening. And I quickly made the decision to fly to Colorado to be with her. And I remember on that airplane ride, knowing that I was going to visit my mother, whom I wasn't confident I was going to get to speak with again. At that point, she was in a state called therapeutic hypothermia, where the body is chilled in order to lower the cost on the other organs while the incident passes. So she was not able to respond in that state. I started thinking about her life and what it's meant to me, the things I've learned from her, and what she offers to the world. My mom has been a feminist as long as I've been alive. I don't know at what point exactly she claimed that identity. My dad tells the story of how in the late 1970s, when he was pastor of a small church in rural Nebraska, she and my aunt Glenda and several other United Methodists flew to Washington, D.C. to participate in a march for the extension of the ratification period for the Equal Rights Amendment, which we never fully ratified. While they were gone, others in the church were a little puzzled by their pastor, whose wife was flying to D.C. to march for the ERA. Reportedly, one asked him, "Is she for it or against it?" Sometimes these values seem out of sync with the expectations of what people of faith should profess and believe and how they should act. But my mom has always believed in the dignity of all people. In a particular way, she has a gift for seeing people who are sort of on the edges. She's an introvert, and I think it's honestly also a strategy for having meaningful conversations. I don't know if it's because when you're an introvert, any conversations can be exhausting, so she raises the bar on who she chooses to talk to, or if it's a strategy for getting in one conversation so you don't have to talk to everyone. But she has a special gift for finding the people who are in need of a friend, a gift for finding people who feel marginalized in the broader community, a special love for the young trans woman in her church community, or the person who's too long suffered abuse. My mom has that skill, I suspect, in part because she is a survivor of childhood trauma that too often gets covered in layers of shame and silence by a society that's mostly okay with accepting that we can't always trust and believe the stories of children or women. I think it's given her a highly tuned sensibility that wants to communicate and speak trust and value and belief in the dignity, the worth, the truth of people and their experiences, even when their experiences don't fit with the image we have of who we are as individuals or as a family, as a church, as a society. She is committed to that kind of value. So all this is echoing around in my mind as I read our gospel passage for today. As Jesus is talking about belief and belonging. And all of these times in this passage, as Jesus talks about the people who believe him and the people who don't believe him, in the past, I've largely read it as being belief in the sense that we professing Christians typically talk about belief. I believe in the resurrection. Or perhaps the lines of the creeds that we memorized in confirmation class that are too often intellectual exercises about ideas that we claim and hold on to. But this week, in particular, this Mother's Day, as I was reading these verses from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, as he's talking about people who believe him and don't believe in him, by his words and his actions, I think of my mom's priority on believing in people, especially people who don't neatly fit in to the communities or families or world that tends to hold sway. As Jesus invites us to ponder what it means to believe, I hear the grace of a God in human form, God embodied in Jesus Christ, who, like so many of us who don't neatly fit into the boxes and stories the world sets up for us, whose life experiences are dissonant with the overarching message of who we think we are, I hear Jesus as being with us in that moment. Jesus is understanding what it means to be embodying love and to not be received, to not be believed. And so in a strange way, I hear this particular text from John's Gospel not only as an invitation to know the assurance that Christ is with us when that is our experience, that Christ knows the struggle of not being believed and trusted, but also I hear in it an implied invitation to be people who receive one another. If we're to claim Christ to believe and belong in his fold, we have to believe, which is something about giving our heart to something. Belief in this sense means honoring the wholeness, the fullness of Christ, not merely in titles we might ascribe to him, whether or not he is the Messiah, whether or not he is God, but how he is. In all of the particularity and nuance of his story, his lived experience of embodying a gospel that is liberation and life and love. I hear in the gospel an invitation to listen to and trust the voices, particularly of women and children, of trans neighbors and siblings in our world, of those who don't speak our language or have legal standing in our place. We're invited to be people who believe and trust in the fullness and the humanity of every one of us. I don't know if it's because of my mom's childhood experiences of not having been protected from harm or believed, but she has a very low tolerance for some of the expected celebrations of women and mothers in our church communities. I grew up in a time and culture when Mother's Day meant that the women's group at church would throw a Mother's Day tea. And at the Mother's Day tea, there would be a number of celebrations, a special prize for the woman with the most children, or the children who'd traveled the furthest to be there. I don't know exactly what caused the tipping point, but she had no patience for buttermints. She has no patience for buttermints or doilies. Those are the external, visible signs of expectations that feel imprisoning and reducing of humanity. Now, I've come to love Buttermints and Doilies in other times and places. I'm grateful to not be one who carries the same particular story that she carries. But I'm aware of how so often in our churches, in our communities, in our families, in our world, we describe and proscribe a very particular way of being a faithful Christian or a good woman or a loving mother. And in the gospel always, Jesus is stirring the pot, stirring up our community and inviting us to see in a bigger and broader way a love that is embodied not in a merely universal way, but in a particular one. Jesus was born in a particular moment of the world to a particular family in the midst of the Roman occupation of his Jewish homeland. Jesus' story sings with the nuance and complexity of life that we also know, we who live in a particular time and place. And on this Sunday in particular, then, as we celebrate a God who shepherds us, we come together to know and honor the particularity and the nuance of our stories, even and especially when our stories are out of sync with who we think we are, when our stories bear the marks of harm and trauma and injustice. We're invited to belong in the community. We're told that God believes us, receives us as we are, the whole of our story, and we're invited to be the kind of community that does the same. It feels like a strange confluence that on this week when we celebrate mothers, also the news broke of a leaked draft decision from our Supreme Court that would overturn Roe v. Wade. It has stirred up again in our public conversation about reproductive justice and abortion rights. Too often, we engage in these conversations as if it were a binary battle, that we're for or against one thing, choice or abortion. Our lives are marked by so much more nuance that cannot be reduced to a simple pro or con. Our lives speak with complexity and particularity that is distinctive to each and every one of our stories. And I hear in our gospel today, in Jesus' words about what it looks like to be believed, an invitation to hear one another, to make space, to receive one another's realities and stories, to bother to look for the implications of our decisions on those who are most vulnerable in our midst. The invitation to believe and love is an invitation to be people who dare to see the full humanity of everyone else who belongs in our society, everyone else who's a part of our community and our nation. It's an invitation to know and honor, to respect the dignity, the beauty, the value and worth of each and every person. On this day, then, I hear a call to be people who believe and love, not in a theoretical sense who believe, but who actually listen to the stories and lives of those who are trying to navigate this world alongside us today. It also happens that this Mother's Day holiday coincides with the saint day of Julian of Norwich, a favorite mystic of mine. She lived in 14th century England and experienced a mystical vision of Christ in a moment when she was on her deathbed. Her body recovered, and she later wrote about the experience she had, an experience of Christ in which she describes Christ as our loving mother,
In 14th century England, she wrote eloquently, first in a shorter version and later in a long version, a description of a God who's present in Christ, who offers nourishment and care to the world, who allows Christ to be seen as mother. I think of that image and find delight in how it shakes up the neat categories I tend to live with. In terms of names of God, how I speak to God in my times of prayer and in song, it opens up a space for all of us to receive the gifts of God in a Savior who is mother. And whether you experienced a mother who offered love or you still have hunger to receive love and unconditional care from a mother, Christ is here as our mother. I wonder if Bobby McFerrin had read Julian when he chose to write the song the choir will sing in just a moment. It voices the 23rd Psalm and chooses female pronouns for the Lord. In the notes that are written there in your worship guide, he describes how his mother was formative in his own faith. And he was thinking of her as he made these choices. The 23rd Psalm is such a beautiful piece of scripture. And every time I read it or hear even the phrases from this psalm, I think of all of the so many of the times and places where I've heard it repeated. I think of moments of grief, of funerals and memorial services where we've spoken these words out loud together. I think of worship gatherings and prayers alone when I didn't know what other words to use, and these words again provided a form for my prayer. So many of the lines in this particular piece of scripture, this psalm sings with a comfort that is often meaningful. A story of a God who comes as our companion, who walks with us through the valleys of death, who offers to us a feast and a banquet, who sets before us a vision of what it means to be a disciple, to walk in the ways of God, how love and mercy follow in our wake when we pursue the love of God. This morning, on this day, this fourth Sunday of Easter and this Mother's Day, I invite you to receive this psalm as a blessing, a gift to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit would allow someone of the phrases to speak especially to you this day, to know the whole of who you are, the whole of your story, and offer a word of grace. Our God offers that kind of particular love that knows and honors, that trusts and believes you and the whole of your story, that invites you to be a part of the ongoing work of pursuing love and justice in this world. May the 23rd Psalm, may our time together today, may your relationship with God continue to offer you occasions again and again to know that you are believed and loved, and to offer to Christ your belief and your love. May it be so. Amen.